forever. Dog.
What's that face, Mac?
You know when you get questions, you're like, what does that mean? This girl said, do you ever feel stuck on your sexuality like you can't change it?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel super like I can't change my sexuality.
You solved it. I think you just solved homophobia.
Actually, you like fucking nailed it, dude. You like understand sexuality completely.
That should just be our answer to every question going forward.
You're really stuck. You can't change that. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, Mac, we're matching.
Aww. This is cute. Hold on, because this feels like I'm picking favorites a little bit. So I'm going to go grab my pink t-shirt so I can change halfway through the podcast.
Wait, Mac, you're doing what?
She's getting a pink shirt.
You don't want to match with your mom? Why?
Because she also wants to match with her father. Because she wants it to be fair.
I thought that she was finally
picking a side. Part of splitting custody is making it fair.
Part of splitting custody is turning her against her other parent every time she's with me.
That is, that the children are divorced know that.
I got this t-shirt for $5 at the Midwest Fest in the youth section.
It really does look like you are a mix of the two of us right now. That's kind of amazing.
I got this at a thrift shop in Pittsburgh.
I got this from my mom.
Nice.
Aww. Where I get all my clothes.
For real?
My mom loves to buy me clothes, yeah. She does.
That's
love
so
to get
sweet
me clothes.
That she's solid at it and you wear them.
She used to, this is like a whole thing. I did not, like genuinely, I didn't dress myself until like only a few years ago because I didn't. When I was straight, air quotes for those listening and not watching, I had no connection to fashion, as in like I didn't understand how to feel good in clothes. So I just rejected any attempt at like trying to feel good in clothes, and I just let my mom pick. I just let my mom dress me. I said I didn't care.
Oh,
I wore whatever.
I feel this so hard.
She thought.
I feel this.
Yeah,
so
this is
hard.
Relatable.
And for me, it's interesting because I knew I was gay, but I was still like keeping myself small, like in terms of like the gay woman that I was going to be. Like, I wasn't buying the types of clothes that I was scared. I was just scared to self actualize as a gay woman. And like,
oh my God, yes.
I was scared of, we've sort of talked about this, like the balance of masculinity and femininity. I was just frightened. And then I was very lucky. I didn't come out. That wasn't what it was. It was actually a straight woman that took me under her wing and was like, you're hot. You should dress hot. And so she taught me how to do my eyebrows and she helped me go shopping. And now I'm okay at it by myself. It was
what was that? The exact
that
sentence
so
you just
cute.
Said that you were afraid to self-actualize. Were those the words you used?
I think that's what I said. I'm not sure that means anything.
That's no, like that just like struck a chord because that's exactly I haven't been able to exactly put into words before what like why I wore whatever the fear to self-actualize. Yeah, like I was too afraid to actually
being your best self.
Express myself the way that I wanted to. So I went from letting my mom dress me to I spent, no joke, 5 years straight wearing cat shirts. Like that was my whole thing. I just like, if it had a cat on it, then I would wear it. My closet was filled with cat print shirts.
Elena,
that's not even a joke.
I love getting glimpses into your neuroses because... I feel like the one thing that I have total honesty about is that I'm like the most fucked up person on the planet.
And you're like, and then I hear you speak.
No, you just seem,
I don't feel so
you
bad.
Seem so perfect and put together and like all these things. So it's really nice to hear that you wore cat shirts for 5 years. Like that is so humanizing.
Like,
and like
go back on my YouTube channel. No, truly though, like it
that's
took
really
me,
funny.
I only really started to when I came out as bi, I was like, okay, let me play with this a little bit, and I kind of
maybe I'll get
found...
a dog shirt.
No, I was like, let me put on some overalls with like a striped long sleeve underneath. Let me get the bi bob.
Whoa,
like
whoa, whoa.
A zebra pattern.
Yes. No, it was like now I have a model. Now I have a box that I can fit in. Ayo. And try to start dressing myself. And then when I came out as gay, I sort of did the same thing where I was like, oh, okay, now I can wear button downs and like bold prints because this is what gay women wear.
Yes.
And then kind of now past that, that was almost like the permission to start attempting to dress myself the way that I wanted to dress. And now I actually finally wear things that I like. Only took 30 years.
Oh, man, it took me a really long time, too. I mean, I think also, like, Max growing up under a different thing, like, and you came out kind of later in life, like, you had gay women who were hot and, like, out there and, like, openly gay and openly hot and dressing gay and indicating that when I came out and realized I was gay, there were no, like, the representation was, like, not.
I needed a straight woman, actually.
A straight woman.
Help me.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the good thing about TikTok. This is one of the things I advocate for about TikTok because I think there's a lot wrong with the platform. But
and
it helps to eliminate those boxes that you're talking about, Elena, where you're like, when I identified as bisexual, I found this new box that I could fit in, and this is what you wear in that box. TikTok is doing a lot to break those boundaries. It's short form content that's quick. There's so many queer people on there, whether they have a big following or not, it doesn't matter. And you get all these videos of all these different people that present differently and identify differently. And it's really doing a lot to just kind of break those boundaries, I think, that exist. It helped me a ton. My style since I got on TikTok has changed immensely.
Me too. I dress like a 15-year-old boy now better than ever.
You're like, I've really nailed down the aesthetic, the 15-year boy, the teenage boy aesthetic.
For me, mine was the hair chop was like my self-actualization moment because I had my friend Caitlin, who's bisexual, had been begging me for years. She knew I was gay for a really long time, probably one of the first people I came out to. And she'd been begging me for years to cut my hair off. And I was like, no, I like my long hair. I didn't like my long hair, but I was scared. And she was like, it would look so good. And so then when I got to college, I was like, whatever, I'll just like cut it. And I cut it right below my shoulder. And then it's slowly just like, as I get gayer, it gets shorter. And we'll just keep doing that for the rest of my life, I think.
Till you're fully bald.
And you have reached your full potential enlightenment.
Fulton will be joining us for this episode, it looks like.
Hi, Fulty. Hi.
It's the more masculine you get, the shorter your hair gets. That's why so many toxically masculine men go bald.
For me, my hair has also been like I wear it like pretty curly now. It's not super curly today, but it has like a lot of wave. I don't know if you guys can see that.
I have never seen
it waved before, but not.
I guess it's curly for me as someone who used to straighten her hair. Now I have a lot of wave in it, and I just love my letting my hair be natural. I absolutely love it. People tell me to cut my hair all the time, and that's like the
you
one
seem
thing
comfortable.
I will.
You seem comfortable and confident with your hair being longer.
I love my hair is like one of my favorite things about myself. I will never let it go.
You got great hair.
It's perfect in every way.
It's lovely.
Look, I have a lot of problems. My hair is not one of them.
Hello, welcome to the Chosen Family Podcast. We are your chosen family. We sit here and talk about gay shit that you send us questions about. And we sit
every day around
the
family dinner table.
Mm-hmm. And then we tell you what we had for dinner. And it's a great time. And thank you for being here. We're so excited.
My name's Elena Joy.
Oh, yeah. I'm Ashley Gavin.
I'm Mac and Jimmy.
Ashley is daddy. I am the motherly presence.
Sure.
And Mac is
look,
baby.
Do you not want to be mommy anymore? Just say it.
No,
What's wrong with it?
Here's the thing. I kind of love it, but I don't want to say it myself. Like, it feels to be like, I am mommy. Like, that, I don't know.
No,
that
sit
I,
down. We'll talk
I'm not
mommy.
Saying I'm daddy okay, in a sex way. I've had a woman call me daddy in bed. We were, like, talking about whether or not I'd be into that. And I was like,
Did you like it?
I think I might be. No, I wanted to die.
Really?
I wanted to die. I had such gender dysphoria when she called me
really?
Daddy. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I think I'd rather be called mommy, even though viscerally that also makes me upset, but it doesn't make me gender upset.
It makes you less upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone called me mommy in bed,
is this a good?
Is that a thing that people are like, no,
Okay, I don't
Elena.
Know. I don't know.
I know we joke about it, but do you want that? You want that?
I've never called someone a parental name, nor have I been called a parental name in bed. And I don't know that I would want either thing.
I've done both.
Oh.
I fucked a mom and I called her mommy.
Oh, I heard this story on your
Was
podcast.
Was it Elena?
The idea of having a wife and children and calling her mommy is very attractive to me. I'm
oh, ditto.
So old.
What?
I no, that's so
that old. Gives me like that gives me chills in not a pleasant way.
No, it's like when somebody calls you. It's like when women call their husbands their baby daddy.
Okay, that to me is a kind of hot, but like
Ashley's disagreeing.
See, this is interesting because we're
I want
feeling
my girlfriend
the,
to call me her
opposite.
Baby daddy.
No, I yeah. want to be in bed with the woman who we made kids in a lab together, and one of us birthed them, and she is mommy, and I'm also mommy, but we don't talk about that. She is mommy, and I am calling her mommy because she is safe and nurturing, and I love her.
That feels like it's attached to a lot of trauma. I'm just yeah. wanting to
oh,
be called
for
daddy.
Sure. For no, that's trauma well, too. You just haven't explored it.
See, I can see being called mommy in like an endearing way, but not in a sex way. I don't think it's for me.
I never would have thought it was for me to call someone yeah. mommy until it happened. And then I was like, this is for me.
It sounds like a shitty weight loss ad. I never would have thought before I tried that it would work so
for
quickly.
Like $10 a
so
month.
So fast.
You count the points, and when you get to 100, you call your lover mommy, and you lose 50 pounds.
And if you call now, they'll throw in the daddy for free. The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So many of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. If you had unlimited time, how would you use it?
If you're looking to find what's important to you, what you want to be a priority in your life, therapy can help. Through therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it.
I've been in therapy, you know, for a really long time. And I know for me, that time is the best me time that I can use because it helps me reset my priorities.
This time of year is all about fresh starts and new beginnings. And therapy can be one of the tools I like to use during these times of change.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/chosenfamily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/chosenfamily. Can we talk about the ponytail in elementary school to gay pipeline? Okay, it very much exists. Did you guys have ponytails in elementary school?
I don't think so.
I know this is a thing because I've seen people relate about it. When I was in elementary school, not only did my hair have to be in a ponytail every single day, it had to be absolutely slicked the fuck right. back. Right. Guys, if a little hair came out, I would have a fucking meltdown. One time, I was on the way to school and a little piece like fell out and I ran home crying because I needed my mom to fix it. I don't know what, this is getting kind
of
sad. But
we have a lot of trauma, all three of us. We were wearing cat shirts every day, our ponytails falling out of place. I need a mommy. But I will say, I think hair obsession, that's a queer thing. Because it is very linked to gender, hair.
That makes sense.
Well,
that makes
almost
a lot of sense.
I feel like what you're saying with the ponytail is similar to me wearing cat shirts in that you are like, I refuse to self-actualize, so let me just get this out of the way as much as possible and not have to make choices about it.
Exactly. Not have to deal with it. That's yeah. so interesting that you say that because before I had thought of it as like, I want it to go back so I almost look like a boy. But when I'm thinking about it, that doesn't make much sense because I never wanted to be a boy. But I did
not want to
have to deal with.
We had that in common.
But I did it as a way to not have to even deal with it. Like, yes. Not have to deal with the way that I wanted to identify. That's really interesting.
It's that, you know, we obviously sexuality and gender are two different things, but there is overlap in that the way that you express your sexuality can be hard and confusing with gender. And yeah.
Absolutely.
Great talk.
Does anyone have any updates?
Well, I got a kid. I got Fulton in my lap, so this is a great update. This is his first appearance on the pod, I think, right?
Aww. I think so.
Fulton is my black cat.
Bugs is not. I think she's always sleeping in my closet.
Oh, yeah. We should tell people that we have twin cats.
We do. And they both sit on our shoulders.
On our first collab together, we put our black cats draped around our shoulders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we showed the world. And look where we are today. He's purring.
So fucking cute.
Look at that cat.
He's gonna cry. I want a cat so bad.
Get a cat.
I want a dog so bad, but a cat is more realistic. I travel too much right now to have a pet and take good care of them.
Oh, I travel all the time, but
I can't leave them home.
I'm lucky. I have a great group of friends and lovers.
Yeah.
And people that and my cats absolutely
Jens.
Jens, there's
I have
just
a
so
great
many Jens.
Group of Jens.
How does Fulton feel about you introducing so many women?
So my cats, I got them from a cat cafe, and they're great with people, and they just love people, especially Fulton. He's super social, so they
you
just
were gonna say especially Jens.
This is just to clarify what this bit is about. This is a bit about people asking how many Jens I've dated. Oh, he's upset. He's upset. Mommy will settle down eventually and find a lifelong partner.
Jen.
Who may or may not be named Jen.
Yes. The final Jen.
Final Jen.
Final Jen.
I've dated multiple
I just
want
to point out, it's
Jen.
Getting dark out right now.
Ugh, I know.
It's 4:30.
I embrace winter now.
In your long johns.
In my long johns. Wait, what is your favorite moment of the year? Because someone was saying to me today they love holiday time. They were like, what's your favorite moment of the year? Mm-hmm, and I was like, I love right when you can start wearing a light jacket and running around.
I have two that are tied, and they're both related to air quality. Like,
oh.
Do you have a lot
of
allergies?
That's so fucking cute.
Yes, tell me more, Elena. Fascinating. I love the moment between when summer becomes fall, where you walk outside and the air is crispy,
you feel air.
It smells crisp and things are crunchy. Love that moment. And then I love the opposite moment when winter becomes spring and you walk outside and the air feels there's that fresh there's that fresh quality to the air, and you can hear the birds.
I fucking love hearing
the transitional seasons.
It's spring. Yes. Yeah. Both sides, though. Both sides.
Life
both
anew.
Very nice times of the year. Oh, this might get a little bit dark.
Do it.
I mean, okay. It's winter.
So I'm trying to figure out what things I like as far as the area that I'm in right now, because a lot of the time, right off the bat, I'd be like, oh, Christmas time, or around summertime when we're grilling out all the time, and they're all related to good childhood memories I have as a kid, which wasn't often.
As opposed
but,
to the
so
childhood
I have so
memories
much...
we have as adults.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just flipped Elena off, listener. But I'm trying to figure out which times of year I actually like and which ones I just have hope around, because I'm I feel like this should be a good time of year because it's
FOMO.
It is in my head.
Holds nostalgia for you.
Nostalgia, yes. So when I think about Christmas, I'm I love Christmas. It's a great time of year. It's so fun. It's so warm. It's cozy. Everybody's hanging out. There's good food. But when I think about Christmas with my family last year, I'm okay, I was sad. I missed my girlfriend. My dad brought shit up that I didn't want him to bring up. It just wasn't
that great overall. And so I'm in this weird time where I'm trying to decide, what do I actually like and enjoy? Mm-hmm. And what am I just almost forcing myself to?
You're like, what do I like now versus what I've enjoyed in the past?
Yes, I'm changing. I'm blossoming.
You are in your early 20s.
Self-actualizing.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
This is what my 20s will be.
That is. Absolutely. Really? Absolutely. That's the whole thing, is trying to figure out who you actually are as a person, separate from your childhood, separate from your like immediate family unit.
Yeah.
Wow, this feels big.
Good
this
luck.
This feels like a big thing.
Good luck. It's horrible. Okay.
No, that's not true.
Should we take...
It's beautiful.
It's
a beautiful time,
it
son.
Can be very hard. I think 23 is universally one of the hardest years of your entire life.
Well, see, I see 25. 25 is...
Could oh, great. Be. So it's not happening yet.
No, so it's just starting.
I'm going to wait for it.
Okay. I don't know.
A few shit years left. Don't worry.
Blink 182 said it best. Nobody likes you when you're 23. Nobody likes you when you're 23.
That's two episodes in a row now where we're singing. Wait, here's something that I heard the other day. Can I give one? It's not really like a life update. It's just something I wanted to.
Is my crotch on camera?
Not that we can see.
All right.
You want it to be?
Is that a problem, or like, are you relieved?
There's nothing morally or not okay about what I'm doing right now, but it might be.
Are you trying to pull
a major
on the
turn on?
No,
for
I'm not
the
trying
audience.
To. No, it will not turn anybody on. If anything,
agree, Ashley.
People will be like, "Why does Ashley get any action at all?"
People will be like, "Why is this not Patreon only content?"
Right, exactly.
No, I heard the term golden retriever femme.
Sure.
Or like, or maybe not femme, golden retriever
it's
lesbian
golden
or something.
Retriever.
Okay. Because I haven't really ever
it's
identified necessarily
type.
With like simp or whatever, any of the other ones. What are the other ones? Like, I haven't felt like I'm necessarily, I fall into those categories exactly. But then I heard like golden retriever something. And I was like, oh, that
you ever heard that before?
No, I'd never heard that before.
It's such and a I personality just, type.
Oh,
yeah, it is. I think
I don't even
honestly,
think it's a gay
I think
thing.
People
I think
use
it's,
it outside of
yeah,
gay.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, they do. They do.
Oh,
but it has.
Well, then
it
I don't
has,
want it. Never mind.
Where you're coming from, though, it has kind of taken over in the gay community as of the past year.
Because gay like, people like to more. Latch on to anything that will create community for us, and then we say
yes.
It's a gay thing, even though
yeah,
it's just
right.
A human thing.
The only time I've used it is for TikTok trends, because it's very relatable. Like, I would say something about my dom femme girlfriend and her golden retriever dyke or something along the lines of that. Like, it's relatable. You have golden retriever energy, Alana.
You do a little bit.
I felt it a little bit.
You're trying to self-actualize, and you've gone from wearing cat shirts to figuring out that you are partially golden retriever, and we will figure out what the rest of this is.
What the rest of the mix is.
Yeah.
It's a piece of the puzzle. It's a part of the journey. We're going to figure you out, Alana.
Okay, but what are you two then? What if I'm
it doesn't
I'm
matter.
A part
it doesn't matter.
It does.
I am an old man.
Okay. And a 12-year-old boy.
I'm a TikToker.
I
I'll say it.
Yeah, you are like annoying.
I right? I'm on that side of the internet.
Mac, you're not like that at all.
I don't think of you as a TikToker,
You're
though.
Really not.
That's not how I think of you.
You're
but
not that way.
That's my platform, guys.
It's your platform,
yeah. But you're not.
That's where I come from.
It's not who you are.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like
doesn't
who I am.
Listen, you're 23. You're going to figure yourself out.
I got to tell you guys,
maybe
I've been posting
like
less and less on TikTok.
I'm sure that's probably good for your mental health. It seems
it
like
is.
You work a lot.
I'm doing some stuff sometimes.
Yeah, but like, are you sleeping? Are you resting?
Yeah, when I can. My girlfriend gave me props yesterday because she said it seems like I'm doing better at having time to do stuff I want to do.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
It's good.
It has felt like for most of the time that I've known you, there has not been room for much more than work.
No, but I'm getting better, just slowly.
Okay.
I think it looks like you're having fun. I'm going to be honest. Seems like
I'm having some fun.
Yeah.
My last trip to LA, I just like enjoyed my girlfriend and her family that I can meet and her friends and stuff. And I didn't really do much. I went to that lesbian party that Amy Ordman throws. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I just like did what I wanted to do. I didn't
network. Was that your first time meeting her family?
I didn't meet her family. I met some of her extended family that know about us. And mm-hmm. then I met her really close friends that are she considers family. Yeah. So okay, I've already met them.
Her chosen family.
Her chosen family. It went great. I love them. They're fantastic. And I mean, the ones that are actually in her family, they're incredible. They're all wonderful people. I love seeing them. And they made me Persian food. And it's...
Yo. Yay. Nice. What'd you eat?
I had gourmet sabzi. I had chicken kebab. I had... Guys, there's some words that I can't remember, I'll be honest.
That's okay.
But it's really
And there's probably some
good.
Words that you can't say because it's a family-friendly show.
Did you eat pussy?
Dad!
Ashley! Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes.
Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast on the go, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. I'm a horrible cook to begin with, so making something healthy and delicious fast, that's what I absolutely love about Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
They also have gourmet meals that feature premium ingredients. My personal favorites? Broccolini and asparagus. But overall, Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. You can simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/chosenfamily50 and use code chosenfamily50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code chosenfamily50 at factormeals.com/chosenfamily50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Should we do questions?
Yeah,
let's do questions.
I am comfy as fuck, by the way. What's that face, Mac?
I'm just trying to find a good one, but there's some that I'm like, huh. You know when you get questions, you're like, what does that mean? This girl said, do you ever feel stuck on your sexuality like you can't change it? I don't know that I understand that.
Yeah, I feel super like I can't change my sexuality.
I
think you just solved homophobia.
Yeah, you can't change it. Actually, you like fucking nailed it, dude.
You're killing it.
Like you like understand sexuality completely.
That was more insightful than anything we've covered on the podcast.
That should just be our answer to every question going forward.
You're really stuck. You can't change really that. I'm sorry. Is it worth coming out as bi in a homophobic family when you are in a head passing marriage?
Wow.
That's so hard to answer without knowing so many specifics. You're the only one that can answer that question.
I thought that was going to be so easy, and then it became so much harder.
You're the only one that can answer that question.
I have general advice around coming out that I think might be important to share.
Yes, yes.
But I think, you know, because the number one question that I get, and I'm sure it's the number one question you guys get, just like into my DMs, is how
do you know that you're gay?
Mine's more
that's my top question.
Oh, yeah.
How
I guess
do
that
I know?
Makes sense. Mine is, how do I come out? When do I come
and
out?
And Max's, so is how can I get your number?
Mine is, how do you
I
fuck?
Have that one. Yes. Mine is, can I change my name to Jen and date you? So how do I change my name to Jen? And I'm like, okay, you got to go down to your local courthouse. So my general advice for people coming out is if you are financially dependent on someone, then it might not be the time to come out yet. I think when you are mostly financially dependent and have a support system, a chosen family, because you never know how people are going to react. You just never know. I lived in a super liberal city. I had a super liberal family, but coming out was still really challenging for me because you just don't know how people are going to react. So it's always better to be in a place where your life will not fall apart at the hands of one set of people. And if you are in a position where you can create other structures in your life, financial, emotional, otherwise, then you are in a safe place to come out. And there's no shame in not coming out. There's no shame in waiting for whatever that is for you to be safe, because it's better to be safe and come out and wait, because it will get better, than to put yourself in a dangerous situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then if you are like financially, physically safe, I mean, the question is like, what's, when you ask,
are you emotionally safe?
Exactly. Are you emotionally safe? When you ask, is it worth it to come out? Well, the question is, what's causing more suffering? You feeling like you aren't out, or feeling like you're hiding something, feeling like you can't be your true full self. Is that causing more harm to you than potentially affecting these relationships in a negative way? Because you could come out and it could go really well. And then you have these relationships and you get to be your full self. And that's obviously the beautiful outcome that everybody wants. Or you could come out, it could negatively impact those relationships. So what holds more value? What holds more weight?
And a lot of times it continues to get better. It starts really hard, and then it gets a little better, and every family at their own pace, you know, what they're able to deal with immediately versus like after they learn. You know what I mean? Like mine was just like a year or two of my mother adjusting, and then it was totally fine. You know, so like it just takes time. I think with this person, bisexual in a marriage, sounds like they are probably, the other part of coming out is, who are you coming out to? Are you talking about?
Well, they did say that the family was homophobic.
So to their family, but maybe not their husband.
They probably mean their.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediate family.
Correct me if I say anything wrong, because I'm not well versed on this topic at all. If the purpose of coming
out to
the family...
You've never been bisexual and married to a man?
Once. If the purpose of coming out to the family is to have a group of people that validates your sexuality despite the fact that you're in a heterosexual relationship, if they're homophobic, you might not get that anyway.
I'm just going to jump in, because I know some people will say, if you are queer, even if you are in a straight passing relationship, it's not a heterosexual relationship because she's not heterosexual. Being bi and dating a man doesn't mean you're in a heterosexual relationship.
So what would I refer to it as?
You could say a straight passing relationship.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
This is also just like the language around this is really hard. And
No, thank you for interjecting. I felt like I was going to say something incorrect there.
No,
it's ever changing. And it's more coming from someone who has been in this similar situation. That it's there's a lot of like bi erasure stuff about being queer and in a straight passing relationship. So I just want to make sure.
So I think if you take Elena's advice, maybe vlog about this for like 7 years and then realize you're gay is one possible.
No, okay, your cat t-shirts really help. Like, you never know.
Mac, I think you were saying something really helpful.
No, it does seem like it's for the total acceptance of who they 100% are. So that's really that's gotta matter to, none of us are bisexual, so this is tough to speak from personal experience, but I know from, I have kind of a track record of dating exclusively bisexual gens, and I know for some of them, it was very, very important to them that they are seen as queer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that it's registered when they're in a relationship with a cis
guy. And that's
guy.
What I'm saying, even though I'm not bisexual, like when I was queer and in a relationship with a man, it was very important to me that people still knew who I really was and like knew about my queerness. Yeah. But I like what Mac was saying, that like if you want to come out because you're looking for people to validate that part of
will you, that group be able to do that?
Yes, it sounds like you're probably not going to get that from a homophobic family, as you've to use the language that you wrote
yeah
in with
well Elena, do you think if it was I'm only saying if it was you in the situation, because I think you're the closest to being in a situation like this. Do you think if you were in a situation that was similar and you came out to, you were with a guy and you came out to his family, mm-hmm. and they were just incredibly dismissive about it, is there any value in that for you? Or do you feel like, and obviously you're going to be different than they are, mm-hmm. but is there any value for that in you? Or does it just make it harder for you to see this family that's like, well, you're with a man, so you're not really, like, that's it doesn't matter. Thing.
It's so, that's so hard to say. Like, it was incredibly important to me to come out, even though I was in a straight passing relationship. But I also, I knew in my core that the people most important to me were not going to abandon me, dismiss me, whatever it was. I don't know how I would have felt if I felt like I was truly risking those relationships.
That's really hard. I don't know the details. It's really hard.
Cousins, write in. Write in to us in the YouTube comments. And
when did we start calling people cousins?
There was a in the comment section, people were saying, like, oh, if you're the mom, dad, and baby, maybe we could be the cousins.
And
it's ramping up the incest value a lot.
Just because you associate cousins with incest doesn't mean that they do.
Whoa.
Look, I also don't know that I love the sound of cousins. I also had somebody say, I saw something about they could be the, how weird the chosen family, their chosen family or something like that. Like, our audience is our chosen family.
Okay, just, chosen, weird, family, chosen family. And definitely not cousins. Right in.
Oh my God. Your eyes could not have rolled farther back into your head just now, actually. Okay, chosen family and not cousins.
I like cousins, but we can go with chosen family. But I like cousins.
It's an open discussion. We don't have to decide anything.
I'm calling them cousins, and you guys can call them chosen family. Write in. Tell us about your experience with this.
I think the question to ask yourself is why? What are you hoping to gain? If you're hoping to gain, like Max said, support and understanding, you may not, it sounds like, will likely not get that, at least not right away. That might come later on, but in the moment, you might not get that. If what's important to you is simply being your fullest self and the consequences of that are the consequences of that, then yeah, do it. Come out. It's worth it. If it's having a negative impact on you.
Sometimes you just got to let it out.
Yeah.
No matter what. So I think just...
What's the motivation?
What's the motivation?
What is your go-to hand position when kissing someone?
Oh, one on the face, one around the back, probably. And then sometimes both on the face, back. Probably like a this.
That's a beautiful... You look like you're dancing. You look like you're about to do the waltz.
We are. We are dancing. It's a dance.
Can I tell you what I like? Because I feel weird discussing what I would do to a woman on this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, or any podcast. When a girl puts her fingers or thumb near the corners of my mouth, I lose my fucking mind.
Oh yeah, okay.
I lose it.
Mac, don't do that.
Not
I'm trying to figure out what you mean.
Not in.
Imagine she's if touching this is your someone face. Else's she's hand. Touching your face. It's here.
She's touching your face, so her.
No, Mac. No, get your fingers out of your mouth.
We get it. You have an oral fixation, but she'll be touching you, and she touches you.
Okay.
Good.
That's
Lord.
What I'm saying.
Tingly,
a little
tingly.
So tingly.
Yeah.
My whole mouth tingles. It's oh my God.
I Dry love tingles. A hand on the back of the neck.
Reaction, but. Yeah.
Mac?
Oh, what I do or what I like?
Either whatever you're comfortable with.
Both. Probably to do to someone else, I would say I like the hand on the back of the neck, but the thumb by the ear.
Yeah, okay.
Ears are good. Ears are great.
This.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of versatility here. You can, slide up, or you can go farther back, and, you can go back and pull, or you can, go up and be, light.
Versatility.
Some girls... There's a lot of versatility.
From a functional standpoint.
Well, some girls really like having their hair played with.
Mm-hmm.
During
like
a kiss.
Below the neck?
Anyway.
Oh, I'll go bonkers for that. A little like lower. Okay, let me tell you something. Sorry, I just said bonkers while we're talking about sex stuff.
No, seriously, bonkers, go bonkers, go bananas.
My hairdresser like trimmed the back part of my hair. And I, while I've been working, I've just been sitting here like touching it because it's really short. Yeah. Not an undercut. Everybody relax. But it's like short hair. And when I touch it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't stop feeling it. It feels just nice. This has nothing to do with sex. But
oh, okay. Great.
Just something else you go bonkers
just,
over.
Just
yeah, another, it's just another bonk.
What else do you go bonkers over, Mac?
That's all. That's the hand position, guys.
This has been an episode of Chosen Family Podcast. What did we eat for dinner?
Oh, wait. This is kind of serious today.
This is kind of a serious.
I would say lady fingers because I was like fully fingering my mouth earlier.
She was. We're going to have to censor
lady
it.
Lady fingers.
I feel like this episode was not sexual enough for us to have eaten lady fingers.
It was okay, so deep and thoughtful, and then for a moment, extremely sexual. And Mac was
what did
like,
we talk about earlier?
Like, I
coming
almost,
out.
Yeah, because this was like a serious and kind of like, yeah, more intense, not intense, a more serious episode. I feel like it was some kind of catered, like multi-course meal.
Oh, wow.
You know, yes, like we're out at like a nice restaurant.
Yeah. Yes.
And each dish that was brought to us
had
like unique qualities.
There was a salad fork, and there was a seafood fork, and then there were other types of forks.
Yes.
There were several forks at this meal.
And
thank you for joining us. And you can join us at the family dinner table for Chosen Family every Wednesday. Follow us at Ashgavs, at Miss Fender with two R's, at Mac and Jemmy to submit your questions. And look, you little piece of shit. Subscribe and tell
us. I was waiting for it.
Subscribe too lovely.
And tell a friend. Because look, we don't leave a tip at patreon.com/chosenfamilypodcast because we don't have ads on this yet. Okay.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
We're
a little baby podcast so far.
We are. So what are you going to do to support your chosen family? Wow, I'm really sounding like it's a threat.
Thank you for being here. See you next week.
Love you.
Chosen Family is a Forever Dog production hosted by Ashley Gavin, Elena Joy, and Mac Injamin. Edited by Danny Jewell. Executive produced by Mariah Nicholas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm.
Forever Dog!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.